This morning, I heard a word from the Lord and I wrote it down. And I'm partial to heart to heart because when the Lord first began my ministry at Grace, He gave us the name heart to heart. And it was really the intent of the heart of Jesus receiving from the heart of the Father into our hearts. So there's three hearts involved. And I said, Lord, what is it that you want me to give to them this morning? And He reminded me in John 14, so that's where we're going to go. We're going to go to John chapter 14 this morning. So, Father, we just believe that your word is truth. And as we receive this word this morning, that there will be an impartation into our own hearts from your heart. And in John 14, verse 1, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, or agitated. So who's in the control room of this heart? Not me. I can retire as a pastor and you can just... Well, better try it one more time. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Now this is the speaker, is Christ, Jesus himself. Do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, or agitated. You're in control. Of whose heart? It says, you believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on God. You believe. I must choose to believe sometimes because my unbelief goes way out into the levels of my flesh. Wherever my flesh happens to go, it's going to go with it. I go with all of the emotional stuff and my heart goes what? With it. You get bad news, what happens to your heart? Starts pounding. You get irritating news, anger starts coming up. And the scripture says, out of the fullness of your heart, your mouth is going to what? Stop. So therefore, a scripture by Christ's instruction says, do not let your hearts be troubled. How many of you have ever literally said, heart, be quiet? Put your hand up. If you've ever said those words, heart, be quiet. Okay, good. How many have had a hard time to speak to their hearts? Yeah, because we're accustomed to fixing everyone else so that we can get cozy. Well, after all, that woman that you gave me, Lord, or vice versa, that man that you gave me, Lord. See, we always want to pawn the responsibility to someone else for our heart to be at peace. Yet the Lord's instruction is what? Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on God, the Amplified said. Believe in and adhere to and trust in me, right? Rely also on me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. And it goes on. Now, I want you to back up into John 13. Verse 20 says, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, he who receives and welcomes and takes into his heart any messenger of mine, receives whom? Receives me. In just that way. And he who receives and welcomes and takes me into his heart receives him who sent me in the same way. Who sent Jesus? because the Father sent Jesus and he released him into the earth so that we could have a quiet, calm, wonderful heart full of mercy, grace, and love and fruit. Then what are we doing getting all bent out of shape? I want you to go to one more scripture. Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, he's talking about when a sower, in verse 5, went out to sow seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the travel path and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some seed fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprouted, it withered away because it had no moisture. That's people. And on others, seed fell in the midst of thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it off. Some seed fell into good soil, and it grew up and yielded a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Be listening and consider and understand by hearing. And when his disciples asked him the meaning of this parable, remember, he's asking. Like I'm asking, "Lord, why?" Well, here he is. He said to them, "To you it has been given to come progressively to know." I like the progressively to know him. That is to recognize and understand more strongly and clearly the mysteries, the secrets of the kingdom. These are secrets in the life of a believer. For others, they are in parables, so that looking they may not see, hearing they may not comprehend. So there are some that no matter how much you try to give them the truth, they cannot hear. Is that inside the church? You better believe it. He was dealing with spiritual Israel, and he was walking from town to town, city to city, in and out of the great cities, and there were a majority who could not hear. They could not understand. And God says it was intended that they couldn't hear. How many have got a couple of people in their lives that they cannot hear? And you'd like to just open up and unzip them and put the word inside, and God says, it's not going to work. No matter what you do, no matter how anxious you get, no matter how uncomfortable your heart gets, it's not going to happen. So what's your job in that situation? Pray. Keep praying and shut up. Because the more you speak, what happens? They put up a wall. And you get what? You get blamed, and what else? What happens to your own emotions? You get frustrated. You get angry. Why can't they hear? God's word says they can't. Get a clue. Shut up. And like my sister said, intercede. Romans 8 says, when you don't know how to intercede, pray in the Spirit for them. Get out of your brains. How hard is it to get out of my brains? How hard is it to get out of my way of thinking that they should already know better? After all, I taught them over the years, especially if they're your own. Yes?
Yeah.
And you'd just like to wring their cotton-picking little necks. and all you do is get hurt and wounded. Verse 11. The meaning of the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The word of God coming out of whose mouth? The word of God coming out of whose mouth? Yeah. Those along the travel road are the people who have heard. Then the devil comes and carries away the message out of their hearts. Huh? Luke 7. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
It is 8.
Yeah. You know what happened is my Bible has 7 and 8 on the same page. So I've got 7 at the top. I covered up the number 8 with my little post-it here. And sorry. I'm forgiven?
Yeah.
Ah, great. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, people. Okay, come back to chapter 8, verse 11. I stand corrected, and I need to be corrected. Thank you. Just don't enjoy it too much. All right, now the meaning of the parable. Remember, it's the Spirit of the Lord working right through our Savior, Jesus Christ. The seed is the Word of God. Those along the travel road are the people who have heard. Then the devil comes and carries away the message out of their hearts, that they may not believe, that they may not believe, acknowledge me as their Savior and devote themselves to me to be saved here and hereafter. And I want to go back to that. And those upon the rock are the people who then, and when they hear the word, receive and welcome it with joy. They get all excited in God. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of trial and temptation, fall away, withdraw, and stand aloof. And as for that, what fell among the thorns, these are the people who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked and suffocated with the anxieties and cares and riches and the pleasures of life. And their fruit does not ripen. Their fruit, what? Can't ripen. Come to maturity and perfection. But, verse 15 is very sweet. But as for those in the good soil, these are the people who, hearing the word, hold it fast and a just, noble, virtuous, and worthy heart. Did you see it, what kind of heart it is? It's noble. It's virtuous. It's a worthy heart. It is just and steadily bring forth fruit with patience. Now, I wish he wouldn't have put with patience there. Because I sometimes lose patience with me. Okay? There are times that I have watched how diligently the word was released into an individual, and then I actually have seen their choices bring destruction. And as I've watched this destruction take place, I said to the Lord, how come? Holy Spirit, what's happening? And these are the fruit that the Lord was showing me. Stubbornness, madness, depravity, extortion and excess, fountainhead of all evil, source of unbelief, and covetousness. That's the unrenewed heart. And the scriptures to go with it are these. The spirit of stubbornness is found in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. These are the evil characteristics of a heart that's unrenewed. Ecclesiastes 9:3 will be visible this madness, anger, depravity, Jeremiah 17:9. Extortion and excess, combination of both, Matthew 23, verse 25. Fountainhead of all evil, Mark 7:21. Source of unbelief and covetousness. This is intense. Hebrews 3:12 and 2 Peter 2:14. Hebrews 3:12, 2 Peter 2:14. Now, how do I work with it? How do I go forward after I see this in someone's heart? When Jesus was on that cross, he had to make a decision. He could stay angry with the whole nation of Israel, yet the Word of God says that they could not hear because God didn't let them hear. It wasn't the time. That hurts. There are some that are in your lives that can't hear. Their eyes aren't open. Their hearts are closed. And I remember a testimony of a great man of God who wrote many books, dramatically caused movies to be made for the glory of the kingdom of God, was transformed in his middle years. I believe he was close to 50 when he was dramatically changed by God, and he lived into his 80s. He had one person in his life, family-wise, that he had prayed for and prayed for and prayed for. And several people around this man knew about his intercession for this one young man. His entire family had actually persevered in God for the salvation of this one individual in his family. And he kept quoting Acts 16:31, "Me and my house will serve the Lord, be baptized and transformed," and kept confessing and confessing. And guess what? He died. At his funeral, God's way of getting a non-believer into the house of the Lord can be pretty sneaky. At his funeral, the family said, "This is intense. Look who showed up for church." Because the other one was under conviction. And as the celebration of his life was being given out by different members of the body of Christ and different family members who had been transformed by this obedient vessel, and all of a sudden, one particular person gave the heart of God of this man that had been changed from a worldly, very well-known national figure, and said, "If it wouldn't have been for him, I wouldn't be alive today." And a bolt of lightning hit in the realm of the spirit the young relative that happened to be in the middle of the church, and said, "What do I have to do to be saved? My uncle bugged me all these years, and I couldn't stand him. What do I have to do?" And the pastor says, "You come right now and kneel down next to the coffin. But do you know that your uncle is alive and well in the heavens? And he's watching right now. And his answered prayer is happening today, just because his flesh is in the ground to be. But his spirit is alive and well with the Father in heaven, watching you right now. Come, son. The blood of the Lamb will wash you clean." And he was the one member that had not been able to hear, had not been able to sustain himself with his uncle. Couldn't stand even visiting him. So you see, sometimes it takes someone to die before someone else comes to life. It doesn't always have to be a physical death. It can be a spiritual death. Your thinking sometimes stinks. Okay? And if it stinks to God, it stinks to you. Get rid of it. He's not going to do it yours or my way. He's going to do it his way. And guess what? His plan is eternal. Look at your neighbor and say, his plan of salvation is eternal. It doesn't stop with my flesh. That's right. It does not stop with flesh. Put your hand over your heart. In fact, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and put both hands over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I don't know how you're going to form this heart in the future, but I'm willing to give it back to you again. Have your way with my heart, Lord. And as I lay hands on my heart today, let all the lawlessness and the anger and all that stuff that's in there, all the judgments and criticalness that's in there, it's got to go. It doesn't come from you. Lord Jesus, I admit I can't change some of it. So I'm trusting by your Spirit. Way deep down inside of me. Change my heart, Lord. Give me a willingness to work it out with you. And I receive this word today to transform me that others may live, to heal me that others may be healed. And don't give up on me, Lord, even when I get a little anxious. I'll speak to my heart and I'll say, be at peace, heart. God is in control. And he's an eternal Father. Eternal for eternity. In Jesus' name, I pray.